James and I are going to say the prayer for children.
We pray for children who like to be tickled, who put their sticky fingers everywhere, who like to walk in puddles, who can never find their shoes.
And we pray for children who stare at photographers from behind barbed wire, who have never had a new pair of sneakers to run down the street in, who live in places where we wouldn't be caught dead, who never go to the circus, who live in an X-rated world.
We pray for children who bring us sticky kisses and fistfuls of dandelions, who like to sleep with a dog, who insist on burying goldfish, who hug us in a hurry and forget their lunch money, who sing off key, who squeeze toothpaste all over the sink.
And we pray for those who never get dessert, who have watched their parents die, who can't find any bread to steal, who don't have any rooms to clean up, whose pictures aren't on anybody's dresser, whose monsters are real.
We pray for children who hide their dirty clothes under the bed, throw tantrums in the grocery store, who pick at their food, who like ghost stories, who love visits from the tooth fairy, who don't like to be kissed in front of the school bus.
And we pray for those whose nightmares come in the daytime, who will eat anything, who have never seen a dentist, who aren't spoiled by anybody, who go to bed hungry, who cry themselves to sleep, who live and move and have no being.
We pray for children who want to be carried.
We pray for children who must be carried.
We pray for children who will grab the hand of anyone kind enough to offer it.
Amen.
The scripture this morning is from Isaiah 49, 15 to 20. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I shall not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders outdo your destroyers, and those who laid you waste go away with you. Go away from you. Lift your eyes all around and see. They all gather, they come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall put all of them on like an ornament, and like a bride you shall bind them on. Surely your waste and your desolate places and your devastated land, surely now you will be too crowded for your inhabitants. And those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children born in the time of your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, the place is too crowded for me. Make room for me to settle.
In Elizabeth Barrett Browning's love poem, Sonnets from the Portuguese, she tells Robert, I love thee with the love I seem to lose with my lost saints. Most of you know I was raised Roman Catholic and had 13 years of Catholic education. And I joke a lot about the nuns and the rules, but the saints and the angels were no joke. For Catholic, the saints are like cousins. They're around a lot, there are a lot of them, and they all have their own particular purpose. Every single day has a special saint or two, and every disease, disorder, location, occupation has a particular person who looks over that particular thing. You know about St. Patrick, the patron saint of the Irish, and Jude, the saint of lost causes. Then we have Anthony in charge of lost items, Gerald for women who want to get pregnant, Cecilia is in charge of music, Lucy is in charge of eyesight. When I was in Italy last week, I paid my respects to St. Zita, the patron saint of servants. You thought I was going to say pasta. There are thousands of saints whom we can call on to help in a very specific way. In these days when our country is separating children from their parents at the border and locking them in cages, I've been wondering who are the saints in charge of children. There is, of course, Jesus, who said, "Suffer the little children," and there are the guardian angels who protect us all. But the saints I recall as being held up to me in my early years were children who were sainted because of their early deaths. Not exactly inspiring. As Baptists, we have soul freedom, so I've taken it upon myself to create some saints of my own. You may remember that several years ago I got up at Joys and Concerns and announced that Bob Rogers was a saint. Today I would like to nominate Janusz Korczak as a saint. He's known by many as the King of Children. I wonder what he would be doing today about the state of undocumented children at the border. Korczak was a Christian pediatrician and an author in Warsaw, Poland. In 1912, he decided that a spoonful of castor oil was not a cure for poverty and parentlessness. And so he took a job as a director of a Jewish children's orphanage for no salary and living in the attic of the orphanage. He was also a well-received author, and he wrote a book called Loving a Child. The orphanage he ran was unusual in that he provided children with opportunities to lead and to govern. Korczak taught that adults should respect and learn from children and to teach them love and respect by example. In 1940, he had to move the orphanage to the Warsaw Ghetto. He was given the opportunity many times himself to escape the ghetto. He was not Jewish. He was given the opportunity, but he would not leave. He was also urged to assist those children who still might have some family, to help those children to escape the ghetto. But he wouldn't do that either because he was afraid that the children might be alone and afraid. He seemed to believe too much in human decency to imagine what was to come. Among his writings, Korczak wrote was to become the precursor to the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. The convention is the most ratified convention in the history of the UN, and it's ratified by every country in the world except the United States. The US has signed the convention. In fact, the U.S. was instrumental in its creation, but has never ratified it. Signing a treaty or a convention means that a country endorses its principles, but ratifying means that the country agrees to be bound legally by that treaty. The U.S. president has to send a treaty to the Senate for 2/3 majority approval. The U.N. Convention on the Rights of the Children has never gotten to the U.S. Senate. The problem seems to be that conservatives are mistrustful of the UN in general and particularly concerned that if this convention is ratified by the United States, parents will lose autonomy over their children. The four core principles of the convention are non-discrimination, devotion to the best interests of the child, the right to life, survival, and development, and respect for the views of the child. The right to life, survival, and development, not to mention their best interests, seem to have been lost for the children at the border. I don't think you would be able to find one sentient human being who would agree that there is any benefit to removing a child from her parents' care and placing her in a detention center where she is not provided with sufficient food, hygiene, or nurture. Remember that when Anne Frank died in the concentration camp, it wasn't in the ovens. She died from disease as a result of the unsanitary condition in the camps she was in. We hear every day now about the awful conditions we are subjecting children to. We know that these children will suffer lifelong trauma as a result of their treatment, and that the trauma is likely to affect generations to come. We all feel anger and helplessness in the face of this desperate situation. And of course, the question is, what can one person do? I've been thinking about that a lot, and I have some suggestions. One, don't look away. History tells us that there were people in Poland and Germany living right near the camps who purported not to know what was going on in the camps. We live now in an era of nonstop reporting. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see it. I want to turn the page, scroll down the computer, turn off the news when they start talking about these children. It's just too awful. But I think we have to know. As citizens of this country and compassionate human beings, I think we have to look. We have to inform ourselves about what's going on so that we are ready to do something when that opportunity presents itself. Two, send money. There are many organizations working to help these undocumented children and families. Annunciation House in Texas, Kids in Need of Defense, Races, all are working to change the situation and can use financial assistance. They need our money. Three, help a specific child. There are people living on farms in our own county and in surrounding counties who are undocumented and unable to move to legal status. There's a special program called the Special Immigrant Juvenile Status, which provides specialized legal status for children under 21. If they can come under the jurisdiction of the family court, they can then obtain a green card in immigration court and get closer to citizenship. Sometimes, some of these children who have come without family are required or require someone who will agree to be their guardian. If this is something you think you might be able to do, speak to me privately and I'll connect with you with the people working with these young people. Sometimes the young people need tutoring in English or just in general school subjects that they're taking. There are many saints in this community. Some of you may know Mary Jo Dudley, who are working to help these children, and you could be one of them. Three, vote and contact your elected officials. Enough said. Four, pray. I know we Baptists don't pray to saints, but keep in mind those throughout history who have taken on the role of children's advocates. As I said, if it were up to me, and I have soul freedom, so it is, I'm canonizing Janusz Korczak. On August 6, 1942, Korczak and his staff led 200 children through the streets of Warsaw to the cattle trucks destined for Treblinka. An eyewitness described the procession. A miracle occurred. 200 children did not cry out. 200 pure souls condemned to death did not weep. Not one of them ran away. None tried to hide. Like stricken swallows, they clung to their teacher and mentor, to their father and brother, Janusz Korczak, so that he might protect and preserve them. Janusz Korczak was marching, his head bent forward, holding the hand of a child. Each child held a favorite toy, and the older children held the younger children's hands. The children were singing as they marched behind the orphanage flag, green and white flowers on one side, and the Star of David on the other. They were never heard from again.